21. Hear this word of God for you today. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. And if it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we ask you to be in this place with us, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of our hearts and of my mouth, that they may be acceptable in your sight. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So I don't know if over the past several months you've ever found yourself angry with what's happening in the world. I know I have. In fact, it seems like it's pretty easy for all of us to get angry these days with all that's happening around us. I mean, getting angry about lies or corruption or hatred or prejudice or bigotry. I could be angry all the time if I watch too much TV, you know? And that kind of anger seems to make sense when Paul says things like, hate what is evil, and we know that there's evil in the world, like oppression and injustice and deception and manipulation and violence. And no one wants to sit back and do nothing about it, especially if we want peace and justice. And isn't there a place for righteous anger? The prophets of the Old Testament, they conveyed God's anger with the people when they took advantage of the weak or failed to follow God's commands. We have read how God has gotten angry when we hurt one another, when we turn away from people in need. But what happens with God's anger? And what happens with ours? What do we do with it? What does it mean to hate evil? What if it's more complicated than just being upset? After all, Paul says that, and then he follows with all these words about love. How do we do that? What's the difference between hating evil and hating the people who perpetrate evil, our enemies? I was reading Pastor Alan Brim's blog this week, and he mentioned a book called Without Buddha, I Could Not Be a Christian, which sounds like a very interesting book, by Paul Nitter. Professor Nitter and his wife were very active in efforts to end violence in Central America and to promote justice and peace in all kinds of countries around the world. Once, this professor took a retreat with a Zen teacher in preparation for his trip to El Salvador in 1987. And he told the teacher, I want to do my part to stop these death squads. But I also understand what you're saying about our need for silence and meditation. The Zen master said, they are both absolutely necessary. You have to sit in meditation. You have to stop the death squads. But you won't be able to stop them until you realize your oneness with them. At first, he didn't understand what he was saying. But then over the years, he started to notice more and more the real anger of the activists, their hatred of the death squads, their contempt for the corrupt governments. And he realized that some of these attitudes in and of themselves were violent attitudes. They were seeking to end violence in Central America, but they were going about it with violence in their hearts. There is a big difference between hating evil and hating those who do it. I mean, doesn't having violent thoughts towards our enemies make us more likely to perpetuate evil than to stop it? Doesn't protesting violence with violence actually hinder progress towards peace? I think Paul and Jesus would say yes. Listen again to what Paul says. He sounds just like Jesus in Romans 12. Bless those who persecute you. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Live peaceably with all. Never avenge yourselves. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Jesus himself in Matthew 5:43 says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. If you love people who love you, what reward will you get? Even the tax collectors do that. In Luke 6, Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn your other cheek also. If someone takes your coat, give them your shirt. Give to everyone who asks. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do good to your enemies. Then your reward will be great. You will be children of the Most High because He, our Father, is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. How can we hate all evildoers if all people are children of God? If all of us are capable of both evil and good? And how can we, who have received God's grace through Jesus Christ, go out into the world without grace, with hatred in our own hearts? We can and should stand up against what is wrong, but not through the anger, the violence. Instead, somehow, we're supposed to stand up against it with love and mercy and grace and hospitality. Talk about counterintuitive and countercultural. Today we heard in Matthew 16, take up your cross and follow me. In other words, let go of yourself. Let go of your own agenda. Instead, follow me, the person who said, love your enemies. These are not easy words to hear from Jesus or Paul. They're not easy words to live by. Our natural instinct when we're faced with something evil or violent is to fight or flight, not love and mercy, right? Sometimes we want an eye for an eye, even though we know that that just ends up with everyone being blind. It's not easy for us, and it wasn't easy for the Roman congregation back then. The context of Paul's letter was the early Roman church that was under the control of the Roman government. And what Paul was trying to encourage them to do was to be an alternative community, a different kind of community within their area. People who loved their enemies and did good to those who persecuted them. But that's not easy, is it? Aren't we supposed to do the same thing? To be an alternative community in our world today, especially when our culture is so divided and so hateful, so quick to judge, so quick to condemn? Isn't it rather countercultural to react to your enemies with love and mercy and grace? As we learned last week, Paul says before this in Romans 12 that we should give ourselves to God, our whole selves to God, as a living sacrifice. That is our worship, and then he tells us what it means when we go out into the world. Paul says, let your love be genuine. In Greek, that word genuine is the exact opposite of the word hypocrite. We all know what a hypocrite is, so let your love be genuine. In other words, you can't fake it. We have to learn to love even those people on the other side of the aisle. Even those with different ideologies, even those with different perspectives or prejudices, even those who take those differences and act out of hatred. Paul says when we suffer, and we should be patient, prayerful, even rejoicing. He says we should bless our enemies, live in peace and harmony, never repay evil for evil or try to avenge ourselves, because that's God's job. He said we should have such hospitality that if our enemies, just imagine this, think of an enemy that you have. If our enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. I was reading this week about a real life example of this creative love in the face of hatred. There's a small town in Germany that has been a neo-Nazi destination ever since it was home to the grave of Adolf Hitler's deputy, Rudolf Hess. In response to a neo-Nazi march to be held in their town in 2014, a group of organizers decided to gather pledges of financial support to an organization against Nazism for every meter that the neo-Nazis walked. Instead of greeting the group with protests, they put up banners all over their town welcoming them. Signs throughout the route encouraged them to keep on walking, to raise more money. And organizers even put out a table of water and bananas for them so they would have enough energy to keep on walking and keep on raising money. They even painted numbers on the ground so that these neo-Nazi marchers could see how much money the people were collecting at every milestone. And at the end, they passed out certificates showing how much these people had raised for an organization that helps neo-Nazis defect from the movement. Amy Allen wrote about this, saying it was a lovely spin on Paul's command, if your enemies are thirsty, give them something to drink. If they're hungry, give them something to eat, for by doing so, you may heap burning coals upon their heads. I don't know if that's easy to do, but it's certainly an interesting take on that. What if when we are faced with evil or hatred, we find a way to step out in grace, in love? What if there's always an opportunity for a loving response? I don't know that we can do that on our own. I know I can't. But I believe in the power of Christ to help us choose that more excellent way, as Paul says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12:31. That's our calling, the more excellent way, to choose what is good and noble, to hold fast to the good, to outdo each other in affection and honor. And how do we choose this? How do we model that grace? What if we are to remember that everyone is a child of God, and we're all capable of evil and capable of good? What if we took Paul's words here in Romans 12 as kind of our guide to dealing with the people in our lives? What if we asked ourselves, could those words be right here on the walls of our church as our mottos for living? Could they be on the walls of your home? Are we willing to see those words as a covenant for living our lives? It's a good question to consider when our whole country seems so divided by political parties and ideology. How are we supposed to treat one another when we don't see eye to eye? And do we realize that how we treat one another is the biggest witness to the world outside the church? What do we want them to see? Love or fighting? Mercy and grace or anger? I was struck this week by all the suffering in Southeast Texas after the hurricane. It's heartbreaking. It's so overwhelming to think of how many people have lost everything. Some have lost their lives as the floodwaters took away homes and businesses, even whole towns. And yet, in the midst of that, we have seen some truly amazing heroism, haven't we? We have seen sacrifice. We have seen love for neighbor, love for fellow Americans. As I was working on this passage and watching the news last week, I thought about how disasters really do bring people together. We've seen that this week. We've seen the very best of humanity in the worst of circumstances, and I was struck by this thought. You know, no one in those rescue boats was asking stranded people who were waiting on their roofs or the top of their cars, "Hey, buddy, are you a Republican or a Democrat? Who'd you vote for? What do you think about these issues?" No, of course not. They didn't have a test for rescue. Every person was just a human being, a child of God in need of help, and the rescuers helped everyone in need. What if that's how we are supposed to treat our neighbors, even when we're not in the middle of a disaster? Aren't we supposed to show that love and mercy to everyone? It's not easy, but it's who we are called to be. It's not easy, but it's who we are called as the body of Christ to be together. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. In the face of evil, we are called to goodness and love. In the face of our enemies, we are called to mercy and grace and hospitality. This is the way of Christ, and this is our way. And to that, all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Friends, please stand. Let us affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, which you can find on page 35 of your hymnal.